Lynn Darlington, narrator.
This is from Single in Suburbia by Wendy Wax. In the car lot of life, Amanda Sheridan decided she was a Volvo station wagon with about 80,000 miles on it. People said a woman should look at how a man treated his mother when deciding whether to marry him. But Amanda now knew, from painful experience, that a man's car buying habits were a much better indicator. In her family, men bought good quality cars and drove them until they stopped running. They raced up the miles and bragged about their odometer readings. And in most cases, their marriages lasted just as long. In Rob's family, which Amanda had been part of for 20 years, the men traded up. Every year they chose a new car and traded that sucker in. Which went a long way toward explaining why Rob was test driving a BMW Z4 convertible named Tiffany, while Amanda appeared headed for the used car lot. Coming up for air by Patty Callahan Henry. I dropped into the armchair in the sitting room. Starting from the fireplace with the fake logs and the gas started, to the oil painting of some hunting scene in England, a sport my husband does not do in a place we've never been, hanging over my mantle. "I want to talk to you," I said. He sat next to me, turning on the TV and sipping his tumbler of whiskey. "Hmm? Yes, darling." But his eyes didn't move from the TV, where he switched channels until he found the baseball game. "How can you do this? How can you pretend we didn't have a huge fight last night?" He stared at me as if I were speaking another language. "Why drag last night's fight into today like a dead animal?" "It's not a dead animal. You didn't hear a word I said." "Yes, I did, Ellie. Why can't you just let things go?" "I don't want to live this story," I said. This is from Wild by Cheryl Strayed. The trees were tall, but I was taller, standing above them on a steep mountain slope in Northern California. Moments before, I'd removed my hiking boots, and the left one had fallen into those trees, first catapulting into the air when my enormous backpack toppled onto it, then skittering across the gravelly trail and flying over the edge. It bounced off of a rocky outcropping several feet beneath me before disappearing into the forest canopy below, impossible to retrieve. I let out a stunned gasp. Though I'd been in the wilderness 38 days, and by then I'd come to know that anything could happen and that everything would. But that doesn't mean I wasn't shocked when it did. My boot was gone. Actually gone. I clutched its mate to my chest like a baby, though of course it was futile. What's one boot without the other boot? It's nothing. It's useless, an orphan forevermore. And I could take no mercy on it. It was a big lug of a thing, of genuine heft. I lifted it high and threw it with all my might and watched it fall into the lush trees and out of my life.